This is a teaching this morning. This is May the, I got the wrong date on here. May the 31st, 2020. The title is Always Looking for a Place Called There. All right, my first scripture is going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. Verses 3 and 4. This is Elijah. God speaking to Elijah. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I'll just read here what I wrote here. I know Brother Hagin coined this phrase in his teaching, A Place Called There, many years ago. The whole theme of his message was to say that there is where God sent the prophet, and there was the place of blessing, though humble. I don't disagree with that interpretation, but I have seen some folks over the last 25 years that are never content here. Oh, it is the pits here. Never can be happy here. Always looking for there. That is the theme of this teaching today. Paul said in 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I would like to look into the life of Joseph for a moment. Genesis 41. As I was working on this teaching, I was listening in the car to teaching I'd done about if you don't put down any roots, you cannot bear any fruit. All right, verses 51 and 52. This says a lot about what Joseph went through. It says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So he was sold into Egypt. He was, a slave, and then he was sold. He was falsely accused, and then he was thrown into prison. But then there was an exoneration day, but he was still here. He wasn't there. He was here. And then, 52, in the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. All right. Joseph never returned to his land and to his life. He never returned. Okay, now Genesis 50. The way I look at it is we're going to have a thousand-year reign of peace on the earth and eternity to do things that we didn't get to do. I'm talking about this in the perspective of God's plan for our lives. Okay, Genesis 50:19. This is after his father passes away and his brothers get to worrying. There's a payback coming for what we did. He was sparing us until our father died, so there's a payback coming. Joseph said unto them, verse 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And then verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So Hebrews 11, 22. Look that up real quick. It says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. So in his lifetime, he never made it back to his land, but he had them carry his bones out. Many people live and die this way and never enjoy their lives here because they're always looking for there. It's a way out. Kind of goes with what I talked before. Well, tomorrow will be better. What about today? Here we come back to the attitude. Are we going to decide we're going to have a good day? Or decide we're going to just not have a good day? Well, when I get there in my finances, or when I get a bigger house, or when I feel better, etc., and on the list goes. There's always an excuse why you don't enjoy here. Well, when I get there, I will. No, when you get there, it'll be here. I say today that it is time to enjoy your life here. If God sends you there, great, but don't put off enjoying your life until you get there. Enjoy your life here. John 10:10. He came that you might have life. This is the Amplified. I came that they may have life. Have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I mean, that's going out that door every day and just having the best time every day, whatever. Do we have to wait till we get there to do that? What, like Joseph, we never get there, we are stuck here? What about that? What if we never get there and we're just stuck here? All right, we'll look at a few scriptures. Genesis 37. Verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. He didn't help it, did he? And he dreamed yet another dream. He told it his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. All right, now go to 41. 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So what did they worship? Moon, stars. So Pharaoh exalts him, 42, 5 and 7. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him and their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." All right, now chapter 50. Verse 17. Now this is after Jacob had passed away. "So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he commanded them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knee. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So everything God said to Joseph came to pass. It seems to be the thing today. If you don't like it here, run there. Our home is with God. We are his temple. We don't have to just endure here and hope someday we get there. Learning to be content here is the key. Usually that is usually the answer to promotion too, is when you get to the place that you're perfectly content where you are, then God says, "Well, now it's time to go." Whether it be here or there, I want to move with the Lord and enjoy it. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 19. "And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Mark 10 says it a little different. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Like Joseph. All right, I want to look in the book of Jonah. It's one I don't go to often, but we can enjoy here or not. Let me get a drink. going to start with chapter 1 here. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he got a cruise. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. He didn't want anything to do with God and his business, did he? And they said, every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. You couldn't tell it, could you? Which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You notice it didn't say a whale. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Sounds like he went to hell, doesn't it? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying fantasies forsake thine own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So finally, he starts to give thanksgiving. And the fish vomited him out. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatness of them even to the least of them. For word came into the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, and that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased John exceedingly. Here's about this attitude. It displeased him, Jonah, exceedingly. He was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. It's kind of like the word this morning. Don't mock, don't act like you're happy that these are falling. These bad people are falling because God, he visits them, and he, that's what he did here. He visits them. There's a scripture that talks about if you rejoice over your enemies getting it, then the Lord will stop doing it. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the warning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Boy, I talk about a sorry attitude in your training. God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people, persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? See, God has to work in us, and he's looking for an attitude. Jonah didn't have it. He wanted them to all be burned up and go to hell. See, we have to enjoy the journey, whether it's here or there. We had a debt-free home 6 years ago. We thought, finally, all these years, broke, living from paycheck to paycheck, and we are finally where all our financial teachers in the church taught us we should be, where we should be. Out of debt. It wasn't even a year, was it, Harley? We prayed the house off. Then suddenly the Lord said, Go buy the house in Shiloh that costs three times what this house costs and finance it. We better be hearing God and moving with him. One size does not fit all, ever. We've had people over the last 5 years question us about why in the world at your age you want that big old house. What are y'all doing in that big old house? Most gear down in their golden years. God said he's just the opposite. He gears up his seniors. They don't retire. They refire or rehire, whatever he decides. God wants us to enjoy the journey all the way through, not just in our youth. We should be enjoying our life more now than we did then. We're sitting in a much better position for sure. Okay, Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Maybe that's why in the movie it's Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, and that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. Now I'll stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So Moses in chapter 4 begins to tell the Lord the reasons why he can't go. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And it cast it to the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, now put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put forth thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first son, that they will believe the voice of the latter son. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe all these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it out upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. I mean, he's giving him the whole smear. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speechness and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with his mouth, and I will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be ever, even he shall be in thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take his rod in thine hand, and therewith thou shalt do signs. Okay. So a little bit of an argument there. Okay, now turn to Exodus 14. Verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Shephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that they will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians here than that we should die in the wilderness. So, the reason that God sent Moses was because the children of Israel were crying out where they were. Now that they're out, they want to go back. Okay? Genesis 26. Bad attitudes, Jonah, Moses, children of Israel. Gonna see a good attitude. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. The Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Then verse 12. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and the possessions of herds and great store of servants. The Philistines envied him. So he lived longer than Abraham. He lived longer than Jacob for sure. He lived 180 years. Okay, his son Jacob was off his land more than he was on his land. And this is what he said to Pharaoh. This is Genesis 47. Verse 9. Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. What happened? He wasn't happy in wherever he ran to. He wasn't happy when he got back. He wasn't happy in Egypt. He grieved over his son. He let the cares shorten his life, 147 years, as compared to his father, 180 years. My encouragement for you today is to be content, stay put, but remain mobile. Then when the Lord says to go there, you can go. But the Lord's looking at hearts. He's looking at attitudes. You see, these people were just people just like us. They dealt with the same issues, basically, that we do. Either it was good there, or it wasn't good there, or it was good here, or it wasn't good here. The Lord wants us to be good here, and then if he tells us to go there, it's good there too.